So today we are continuing the sermon series that we've been going through this summer, a sermon series on the book of Acts. And just as a reminder, or in case this is your first Sunday with us, we're looking through the book of Acts because this book in the Bible tells the story of the early church. It tells the story of how these early Christians were called by Jesus to be witnesses to the rest of the world and how they went about doing that. Now, what is amazing is that we, right here today, as followers of Jesus, we have this same calling that these early Christians had. And so over the summer, we've been looking for guidance from the story of these early Christians for how we, like them, can be witnesses of the good news of the gospel in our communities and in our society today. So that's my hope with this sermon series. Because here's the thing, why is this important? It's important because what we find when we read in the Bible is that God wants everyone to come to know him. God desires that everyone would come to know him through Jesus Christ, to come to know the love that he has for them, and to come and be transformed by that love. That is the good news of the gospel, that no matter how far away we are from God, no matter what the barriers, the obstacles that we or society has put in the way of that relationship, no matter the depth of our sin or our own rejection of God, God has not rejected us, and even now, God calls us into his love. Now, I'm actually getting a little bit ahead of things right here at the beginning because that, what I've just said, that is the main point of the story that we are going to look at today. We're going to be looking at this amazing story that we just sung in the book of Acts, in which God uses one person to introduce someone else to the love that he has for them in Jesus Christ. And what we're going to see through this story is this incredible truth that God invites those who have already been found by Jesus, God invites us and chooses to use us in his own work in bringing others in relationship to him. So that's what we're going to be seeing. So with that introduction, let's now turn to the scripture passage for this morning. Acts chapter 8, we'll begin in verse 26. You should know this passage really well now because we've already sung it, we're going to read it, we're going to have preached on it. So this is one story you should definitely know by the end of today. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all of the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we come to you this morning, and we read these amazing words of Scripture, Lord, we also recognize that just as the eunuch could not understand, we also need your guidance. We need the help of your Spirit to receive this word that you have for us this morning. And so that's what I pray, Lord, that you would use this time, that you would use this proclamation of the gospel to speak directly into our hearts through your Spirit so that we might receive with joy the good news that you have for us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Now, right off the bat in this story, we're introduced to the person of Philip. Now, those of you who were here a few months ago will hopefully recognize that name. We talked about another story about Philip in which he invited his friend Nathaniel to come and meet Jesus. That, maybe to ring a bell, that was the red mango sermon when we saw that in inviting others to meet Jesus, you don't necessarily have to try to prove everything to them. Really, all you can do is invite others to come and see, to come and taste, and the rest is up to God. Now, here we see Philip doing something similar, though the details of the story are different. And to be honest, I had never realized this until I started working on this sermon series, but Philip really is the master evangelist. Just these two stories that we have here, he is really good at what he's doing here. And that's one reason why I want us to learn from the example that he gives us. So let's dig in now and see what actually happens in the scripture. What is it that Philip does? So here's our scripture passage. And I want to start right here at the very, very beginning. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out. Now, there are a few things right here at the very beginning that are worth reflecting on, even in just this very first verse and a half. We see here that an angel of the Lord comes to Philip and tells him to go down this particular road. Now, here's the thing about the command that God gives to Philip. It's a really strange command. And, you know, I think whenever we're reading the Bible, we don't really notice this because a lot of seemingly strange things happen in the Bible. I mean, right here, we're hearing about an angel appearing to a guy. Like, that's strange to begin with. But the actual command is strange, too. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you were to really think about it very hard. First of all, as the scripture passage tells us, the road from Jerusalem to Gaza was a desert road. Now, the actual Greek word there that's translated desert means something closer to wilderness. This road from Jerusalem to Gaza was a barren wilderness road. When I was trying to think about what an equivalent road might be in my own experience, I thought of some of the roads that I'd traveled on whenever I drove from New Jersey out to California. There are some roads there in the desert wilderness of New Mexico and Arizona. If any of you guys have been through that stretch, if you're driving into California through New Mexico and Arizona, you know that desert region. And it is beautiful, but it is a barren, barren wasteland. There aren't, you know, little towns. You go for miles and miles without seeing any sort of civilization or even meeting any other cars on the road. It is just barren. All that you can see is, as far as you look, is sand and rock and cactus. No cars, no signs of civilization, just stretches of road. That's the type of road that we're talking about here in the scripture passage today, a barren and empty road. It's the type of road that you would never go on unless you had a really good reason for going on it. And on top of that, if you read just a little bit before where we began our scripture reading today, what you'll find is that Philip, initially, he wasn't traveling alone. Peter and John were with him. They had just been on a trip to Samaria together, and they were experiencing amazing things. The Spirit was just opening up doors and windows in Samaria for people to hear and respond to the gospel. They were having this amazing experience, and then they had just started the trip back down to Jerusalem from Samaria, and yet for some reason, what we find is that God did not call all three of them together. Peter and John end up going back to Jerusalem, back to the safety and the security and the comfort of the Christian community that was there in Jerusalem to go and share the amazing things that have been going on in Samaria. And yet, Philip gets called to do this crazy, seemingly strange thing to go on this completely different road away from his friends in a direction that makes no sense. So this thing that God was asking Philip to do, it was not an easy thing. So why was Philip being sent on this deserted wilderness road? Now again, we know how the story goes, so we can fill in those blanks, but Philip didn't have that. And that's the other strange thing about this command that God gives him. Philip isn't told why he's supposed to do this. God doesn't say, hey, Philip, I want you to go on this strange desert wilderness road. Why? Because, well, you see, there's this Ethiopian guy that you're going to meet on there, and then you're going to say these things to him, and then this is going to happen, and it's all going to be awesome, Philip. God doesn't give Philip any of that. God just says, hey, Philip, your friends are going that way. I want you to go this way. Get going. That's all he has. He's not given a good reason. He's not told what he's supposed to do on the road. He's only told that he is supposed to go south. And that's the first thing that I want us to hear today in terms of instruction for how we as a church and as individuals can be used by God in the same way, even though this was such a strange command, and even though Philip could not possibly have seen any rhyme or reason behind why God would send him down this road away from his friends, Philip was attentive to the call of God's Spirit. Philip knew how to listen to God, and he knew how to be obedient when God instructed him. So that's the first thing that we need to hear this morning. If we are going to participate in God's mission, we need to learn how to hear and follow the urging of God's Spirit. Now, I'll be honest. As soon as I wrote this on the page, I was like, oh, shoot. I'm talking about being listening and being obedient to the urging of God's Spirit. That means that I actually have to talk about how we do this and about how difficult it is, because that's the reality. This is really difficult. This is something that I certainly struggle with. It can be so easy to ignore the urgings of the Spirit. There are so many things going on in our lives. I have so many different things running through my head, trying to keep my busy schedule all together, trying to keep obligations that I have all together. There's so much noise that I find that I'm not attentive to the urging of the Spirit in my own life. And I am a pastor. Like, it's got to be my job to listen to the urgings of the Spirit, and I struggle with this. And let me tell you all this too. If you are a follower of Jesus, this is your obligation. This is your job too. And if you're like me, we all struggle. There's so much in our society and in our world today that keeps us from hearing and being attentive to the urging of the Spirit. Often for me, it's only when I sit down at the end of the day and I'm about to fall asleep and my mind is finally quiet that I'll realize, wait a minute. When I was talking to my friend and she was sharing with me how depressed she was because she couldn't seem to get anywhere with her work, and the thought that rushed through my mind then was how I wish that she knew how much worth that she had in God's eyes. That was the urging of the Spirit, and I missed it. And that's the thing, the urging of the Spirit doesn't have to be big, it doesn't have to be like being called on some completely separate road, sometimes that's what it is, but it doesn't have to be big. Maybe when your child has done something wrong and you're tempted to blow up, but then you feel something in your heart, something that tugs at you that says, no, help him to understand about sin, help him to understand about his need for Christ in this moment. That's the Spirit urging you and at work. Or maybe an acquaintance that you haven't seen in years and who has always been critical of your faith calls you up out of the blue one day and asks you to talk, but you'd really rather not go. It's just not a good time. But something in your heart says, no, I have orchestrated this. At this point in time, you need to go and you need to hear what this person has to say and you need to be willing to talk to them. That's the urging of the Spirit. I actually had almost exactly that experience about a year ago when an acquaintance of mine sent me a message asking if I could go and get coffee with him. Now, he was a nice guy, but he was also the type of guy the very first time I met him and it came out that I was a pastor, he was very clear. He said, like, okay, but listen, I don't want to have anything to do with that church stuff. So, you know, don't try to proselytize me. Don't do that. I'm too smart for that. Just, you know, we can be friends, but that's as far as that's going to go. And I was like, okay, I understand what this relationship will be. Very good. But then again, out of nowhere, he calls me and he says, hey, I'd like to get together. I didn't think much about it at the time. And to be honest, when he called, it wasn't really the best of times for me. Part of it is I'm an introvert. I like my time alone. He was asking me to give up my time alone. I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. But then there was that urging in my heart that said, no, actually, you need to go. You need to go and meet with him. And what happened really astonished me as we met together and we talked, you know, and we just started talking about just kind of random stuff. And then suddenly he just started to open up with me about how he had been a Christian before, but he had been hurt by the church. And that was one big reason why he just absolutely rejected Christianity and God, because of all of these hurts, all of this baggage that had piled up. He just opened up to me about this. Now, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. This story does not end with, like, you know, a dramatic, you know, we didn't see a puddle on the side of the road and I suddenly baptized him again or something like that. That's not how that story went. I listened. I responded. But the thing that was so important in the midst of that conversation was somehow God has worked in his heart in a way to say, here is someone, me. I was someone that he could freely talk to about these hurts. I was someone that he could come to and share his longing and desires to have a relationship with God, but all of these things that had happened that had caused him to reject God in the end. That was a powerful conversation, both for him and for me. And it was at the urging of the Spirit that I went. As followers of Jesus, we need to learn how to listen to the call of the Spirit. Even if the call doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, even if we don't have all of the details that we would like to have, we need to learn to listen and follow. And that's exactly what Philip does. He hears the call, and he begins his journey down the road, and as he goes, he meets probably the least likely candidate for becoming a Christian that you could possibly imagine. Here it is. The man that Philip meets is, look at how Scripture describes him. He's an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the queen of the Ethiopians. Now, pretty much every single word of the description that I just read to you right there, pretty much every single word would normally tell us that this man should have absolutely no interest at all in hearing about this guy named Jesus. Now, it's easy, again, for us to gloss over this fact because we have some other details that Philip didn't have a little bit later on in the passage. But look at this description. So first of all, this man is an Ethiopian. Now, as an African, he would have already stood out in this area as a foreigner. But in the context of the early church, in the society that Philip was living in, Ethiopia was considered to be the very edge of the earth. In fact, if you read Homer, that's how Homer describes Ethiopia. It's like the very far reaches of the earth, as far as you could possibly imagine anyone coming from. That was how far away Ethiopia was. And so that was kind of built into this mythology that the people in Philip's time had about people from Ethiopia. This was like far reaching. You couldn't get more foreign than this guy possibly was. He was literally from the ends of the earth. So here is an absolute foreigner on this desert wilderness road. But then on top of that, we find out that this is a man of great importance. He is wealthy and powerful. He's the one who's in charge of the whole treasury of his kingdom. Now, maybe Philip didn't initially know that he was in charge of the treasury. That probably came out in their conversation later on. But certainly, by looking at the chariot and by looking at the entourage that this man must have had, Philip could have easily discerned how rich and powerful this guy was. As such a powerful, rich foreigner, what interest would this man have in hearing about Philip's God? What need for forgiveness or grace could this man possibly feel, being so rich and wealthy? What sense of sin could he possibly have against a God who should have been completely unknown to him? And then on top of everything else, he's a eunuch. Now, this was common practice at this time that a man who would have worked so closely with the queen would have been made a eunuch. But this detail is important for us here because it would have meant that the Ethiopian would have been considered unclean by Jewish law. Even if he went to Jerusalem to worship at the temple, he would not have been allowed into the inner courts because of the fact that he was a eunuch. So that is part of why this man should have been just about the least likely person that you could think of to be interested in hearing about God. He was a wealthy and powerful foreigner from the literal ends of the earth who should have had no sense of need from Israel's God. And even if he somehow did have some sense of need for this God that was completely foreign to him, he would have only experienced rejection at the temple gates when he went to try to worship and enter into relationship with that God. Everything was stacked against this guy if we're thinking about coming into relationship with the God of Israel. So on the surface, at least, this was not someone you would naturally approach to talk about God with. And yet, in spite of all this, God's Spirit urges Philip to go right up to this chariot. And listen now, God will urge you to do exactly the same thing. The truth is, it can be so easy to become discouraged when we think about sharing our faith in our community. I will be honest, in some ways, I think a place like Grand Rapids can feel like just about the most difficult place in the world to share your faith. I mean, you think about a place like this, most people have already heard the gospel. Most people have already made their decision. You know, there's part of me, it's like, as soon as they hear I'm a pastor, they already know what I'm all about. They already know the story I'm going to tell them. What am I going to say now to convince them different from whatever they've decided from so many years ago growing up? What purpose could there possibly be in me bringing up Jesus just one more time? Have you ever felt like that? And yet the lesson that God is teaching us in this passage today is that no one is beyond God's reach. Let me say that again. No one is beyond God's reach. Even someone from the literal ends of the earth is not beyond God's reach. Even though Philip had no way of knowing it, God was already deeply at work in this man's life. Somehow, this Ethiopian had come to hear about the God of Israel. We have no idea how this even happened. How did a guy from Ethiopia hear about the God of Israel? We have no idea. And then on top of that, not only did he hear about this God of Israel, but somehow this urge came up in his heart that he wanted to go and visit Jerusalem in order to worship that God. God was already deeply at work in this man's life. And this is important. This is a desperately important reminder for us. Because it is so easy for us to make judgments about the people around us. It is so easy for us to say, oh, here's someone who could never hear about Jesus. They've already completely rejected him. There's no point. Or, I'm definitely not the right guy to talk to this guy. I mean, he looks like he doesn't even speak English. How am I going to talk to Jesus about him? What God is teaching us today is when the Spirit guides us to speak to that friend, to that coworker, to that family member, that you think it would just be a waste of time to bring up God one more time with. You need to listen to the Spirit, because you don't have any idea what work God has already been doing behind the scenes. And no one is out of God's reach. Now, this sounds good and everything, at least I hope it sounds good. But I know what many of you are thinking right now. Maybe you have that person in mind, right? Maybe the Spirit is tugging on your heart right now, and you have that person in your mind, someone in your life that you know that God has been urging you to talk with and meet, and you're thinking, but how? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say? I don't know how I would even bring this up with this person. Remember, Philip is the master evangelist, and so what I want to draw out now are just a few simple points from the exchange that Philip has with this Ethiopian to give us some concrete guidance. Now, every situation is going to be different, and that's one reason why you really just have to follow the guidance of the Spirit, but there are some good concrete points that I think Philip gives us here. So let's take a look. What is the first thing that Philip does? Here it is, quite simply. He follows the Spirit's leading to go up to this man's chariot, and then he listens. Philip listens. Right? It says, then Philip ran up to the chariot, and then he heard the man. Now, this is such a small thing, but it is so important. The first thing that we should do is not jump right into telling someone the four spiritual laws or ask them if they were to die today, do they know exactly where they're going to go? Are they going to go to heaven or are they going to go to hell? Yeah, we want to get there at some point, yes. And listen, if the Spirit tells you to say exactly that, you listen to the Spirit. But as a general rule of guidance in our society, and in Philip's case too, I think what is more appropriate and more helpful is first to just listen. And part of the reason that you need to listen is because, once again, you don't know how God has already been at work in this person's life. And that's exactly what Philip discovers when he listens. Because astonishingly, not only has God orchestrated it so that he would meet this man from the very ends of the earth on this deserted road, but God has also orchestrated it so that he would meet the Ethiopian at exactly the moment when he was reading this particular passage from the book of Isaiah. I mean, look at the passage that the Ethiopian was reading. Philip, as he heard this, he had to have just been blown out of his mind. Like, how could he possibly be hearing this right now? The passage is from Isaiah 53. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Again, this is from Isaiah 53, and what is so astonishing is that you could not have chosen a passage in the entire Old Testament that is more clear about the person and work of Jesus Christ than this. In this passage, Isaiah is prophesying about God's servant who had come to suffer and die for the sins of the people. Like I said, Philip couldn't have chosen a better passage to work with. And God had made it so that this was exactly the passage that the eunuch was reading as Philip passed by this chariot on this wilderness road. And Philip paused, he waited, he listened, and he heard this. And so after listening, Philip asked the Ethiopian, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian then invites Philip into his chariot for this conversation. And this leads us to the second point of guidance. Begin where the other person is. That's what Philip does. Right? Begin where the other person is. Beginning with that passage of Scripture, Philip then shared the good news with the Ethiopian. You see, if you take the time to listen to someone else, you'll begin to hear where they are in their life. You'll begin to hear about their struggles and their hurts. You'll begin to hear about their hopes and their longings. And it's right there at the point that they are right then in their life, it is at that point that God has called you to speak the good news of the gospel. Because listen to this, the gospel is not some abstract theological concept. I know it can be easy for us to think that the gospel is some abstract thing that, yeah, we kind of all know what it's about, Jesus and love and all that kind of stuff. Listen, the gospel is not some abstract thing. It's not some abstract concept. The gospel is concrete. It is particular. Why? Because the gospel is the good news to that individual person right then at that moment in their life. Yes, it is good news for all of eternity, but it is also good news right then in that moment. Think about your own experience of the gospel. Think about that moment when the gospel, when God's love became real to you. Was it some abstract theological concept that did that? Or was it a direct intervention of God's Spirit into your heart in a particular moment in your life when you suddenly realized, even though all of this stuff is going on in my life right now, I finally understand just how much God loves me. That is the gospel. The gospel is concrete in that moment in your life. So we need to listen. We need to begin where that other person is, because that is where God is calling us to share the gospel. And finally, we need to share the good news about Jesus, right? That's what Philip does. He tells him the good news about Jesus. We don't know exactly what it is that Philip told him, but we can guess some things. Right? He tells him the good news about Jesus. My guess is that he tells him that Jesus is the one that he has actually been longing for. Even as he's made this incredible journey from Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was the one that he was longing for. And that Jesus is the one who has overcome every barrier that stands in the way of his relationship with God. That no matter how unclean or sinful he is, as a eunuch, as a foreigner, no matter if he's been rejected by society, no matter if he is wealthy or powerful, no matter if he's a foreigner from the ends of the earth, Jesus has sought him and Jesus has suffered on the cross and died and was resurrected for him. And I love how this story ends, because it is clear from what happens next that the Ethiopian heard the good news loud and clear. Because once again, miraculously, remember, they're in the middle of the desert. Miraculously, they pass by a little bit of water. God has definitely planned this out. They pass by this water, and the Ethiopian doesn't even pause for a moment. He says, "Look here, there's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" The answer is nothing. Nothing can stand in the way of God's redeeming love. Not the fact that he was an Ethiopian, not the fact that he did not look like someone who would be interested in God, not the fact that he was rich and powerful, certainly not the fact that he was unclean. The eunuch had heard the good news that in Jesus God has overcome everything so that we can be in relationship with him, so that we can be made clean, so that we can be free from our sins. And brothers and sisters, that is the amazing news that we are called to share in our own community, in our own society here and now, with our friends, with our family members, and even with that stranger that we meet from the very ends of the earth. I mean, I'm even talking about someone else from the other side of 28th Street, right? Far as you can possibly think. Is that about as far as it? Maybe Zealand? I don't know. Where's the end of the earth? Lake Michigan. That's the end of the earth. God has invited all of us. as those who have already experienced the love of Christ. And listen, if you have not experienced the love of Christ in the way that I'm talking about, God is inviting you right here and now to experience it. But God has invited all of us who have experienced this love, who know the changing power of the gospel, to share this news. Don't make a judgment. When the Spirit is urging you to talk to someone, don't make a judgment about whether that person can actually receive the gospel or not. How dare you do that? Can you imagine if someone had thought that about you before talking with you about Jesus and how much he loves you? And brothers and sisters, when you ignore that urge of the Spirit, you're like, it's not the right time, God. I don't want to do this right now. I feel uncomfortable. That's effectively what you're doing. You're saying, this person somehow is not worth my time. This person somehow is not worth the risk of me feeling a little uncomfortable or being hurt. Brothers and sisters, if there is anything that is true about the gospel, it is that no inconvenience to us should matter, because we serve a God who literally went to the ends of the earth, who went beyond the end of the earth, who died on a cross so that we can come to know this love. Thank you. Amen. So that's the invitation that we have for us today. This invitation that God calls us to. So with that in mind, let's join together in prayer to ask for God's guidance. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this amazing example that Philip gives us. I thank you, Lord, for his willingness to go where you called, to follow the Spirit's urging, and to speak even in a situation that did not seem to make any sense, Lord. But more than this, I thank you for the miraculous work that you had already been at in preparing this Ethiopian to hear the gospel. Because, Lord, it is that truth, the work that you are doing, that gives us hope. We know that there's nothing that we can say, Lord, but we know that you have so desperately longed to be in relationship with us, to draw us back away from our sins, to bring us into living fulfillment with you, Lord, that you have undergone every temptation, you've undergone every trial, you've undergone anything that we can possibly imagine, even to the extent of dying on a cross and being raised from the dead for our sakes. You have done that for us, and you have done that for those that we will meet. And so, Lord, just give us courage in those moments. Help us to hear your urgings loudly and clearly. And again, give us courage to follow that urging wherever it may lead. Help us to be confident not in ourselves, Lord, but in your work. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have received this good news. Amen.